All right, if you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read from two places, so I'm going to give you that one. And then, if you will, turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I do appreciate the privilege to be able to be here these days. And it's been a blessing to fellowship and to be a part of the marathon this time, both in being a part to be behind the mic some, as well as to be able to give some. I praise the Lord for that. It's an honorable thing to give unto a cause for Christ.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be able to do so, and I praise the Lord for that. Please pray for us tonight. We just to break up tomorrow. We got about 500 miles that we need to make, and so we're going to drive part of the way tonight, and then we found out that it's better if we break a longer trip up. 500 miles, you know, is not much, but when you factor in the age that we're getting, it makes a bit of difference. When you got some back and leg and things, you factor those in, and there's a little bit difference. And so sometimes you think, well, it's crazy to leave. You know, you had a motel room that's paid through the night, and we could get up in the morning early and go, and we could do that, and we've done that many a time, but we just feel like this time it's better for us to leave out, and we'll drive down the road somewhere, and we will probably get a motel room somewhere else, and we'll be paying for two motel rooms for the same night. You say, well, preacher, that's foolish. Well, maybe it's like they said Spurgeon one time. I was riding a train, and he had one of the berths, if you will, one of the things that was a bit better than another preacher of a different denomination was riding, and it would, like, we would be flying, maybe Spurgeon was first class and this fellow was coach, or something along those lines. I don't remember the story exactly, but they said that this fellow said to him, when they found out the difference, he said, Spurgeon had a place that had a bed in it that he sleeps up, and the other fellow was sitting up. So he said, the other fellow said, I ride like this so that I can save God's people money. And Spurgeon said, I ride like this so that I can save God's man. And so sometimes that may be needful. I've never flown first class. One time we had to fly to North Carolina on a short notice, and when Ann's brother had passed away, and so it was for the reading of the will, and the executor said, because it's going to be this expensive, we'll pay the estate. I'm going to pay this, your ticket. I said, I've got to be back for this weekend. Well, Ann was going to stay. So, we get down there to the airport, and, I get in the first class line. We did. First time I'd ever done that in my life. And, we get in the first class line. We get up there, and they look at our ticket, they said, you only have one first class ticket. And so Ann wouldn't ride first class, nor would I, and the other sat in coach. And so we both sat in coach. But on the way back, I'm by myself. Buddy, I get in that first class line. I think I'm gonna do this thing. It cost them quite a bit to fly this. And so I get in that first class line, and I get back up there, and the woman behind the counter said, you're not first class, you're coach. And I said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. I said, one of these was first class. And she said, sir, it was only one way. You've already flown. So I got in first class. I got in coach. And so that's all right. Having said that, we will be driving some tonight. I would appreciate your prayers. And we promised, my wife and I promised each other some years ago that if we needed the other one, we wouldn't drive until we got dangerous. Okay, maybe I'm dangerous from the start, but we was driving through and we was somewhere in Kentucky, and all of a sudden I came out of my stupor enough to realize I don't know where I'm at. I've driven this road from Kansas to North Carolina back and forth. I should know it by the. I don't know where, nothing, I couldn't get it in my mind, nothing made sense. And I had missed my turn and was headed toward Memphis. Is that 57 where you made, or 24? One or the other, I 57. I'd missed my turn. I was just about to go into another state. And so it took us forever. I said, well, we'll make a turn here. And it just took us forever to get back over on 24. And so we made a promise to each other then that we would do that. So you pray for us, but we'll try to be true to that. And I appreciate everyone and all your kindness, the wonderful meals. I thank the Lord for that. And just all of the care. The folk over at the motel, so kind to us, and they always give us they move people around to give us that handicap room back there, and that helps us, and so it's a blessing. All right, if you have your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read one verse 19, and if you remain standing, I'll read you a little bit over in the book of Titus, and then I'll pray and let you be seated. In 1 Corinthians 15:19. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. How about that? If we have hope, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now let's turn over to Titus chapter 2 and let me read you about three verses. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read one more verse just to get through that sentence. Who gave himself for us. That's our Savior, our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Let's pray together. Father, I bow tonight in your presence. I thank you and I appreciate your care. Lord, we come behind this sacred desk with the sacred word of God and ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. I pray, Lord, we do no damage to the scripture and to the cause of Christ, that you'll put a guard about our lips, that we say nothing that we should not, and then give us freedom of speech that we can say what we need to say for your name's sake and glory. Thank you for time together this week with various people. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have time with Brother Downs this week. What a blessing it's been to get to know him a little bit better. And, Father, these other men that's been around the microphones from time to time, it's been an encouragement to see their burden, to see their willing. willingness to give and to hear the testimonies today. I appreciate all of that and ask you, God, to help and guide. Now, please use me tonight to the glory of God and speak to hearts. Lord, there's been much testimonies and much said about salvation today and the need. And Lord, I said a couple of times over the radio, I don't believe this is by chance. I believe, Father, somebody needed to hear that. And there may be some here tonight that need to hear that. And Father, I pray that somehow, as I bring this message, that there would be someone here that might more clearly understand salvation, if that's the direction it goes, will more clearly understand that hope, that eternal hope, that can only come through our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, through their trust in Him, coming to Him, believing in Him, and my Father being born again. We pray that you'll help and speak to hearts. Encourage your children with a message tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It looks to me like that I'm looking at hope tonight, our blessed hope. And as I look at this, I want to be sure and clarify something when we're talking about hope. Biblical hope is not, I hope that I'm saved. I hope it don't rain. That's more like wishful thinking. And you can fill one cup with wishful thinking and fill another with something of substance like water, and you can just keep on with that wishful thinking and it won't be filled with anything but air. Right. But that's where we are. I've heard people say, and there's even a song, and I like the song, but there's a song, I can't remember the name of it, but you used to hear it quite often years ago. A little boy said, if Jesus is not real, is that the way it is? If Jesus is not real, please don't tell my daddy. Right. Or if salvation's not real, something, I've forgotten exactly how it goes, but it said, please don't tell my daddy. In other words, his daddy had gotten saved by the grace of God. The gist of it is his daddy had gotten saved by the grace of God, and God had changed their home so much. That boy said, "If it's a dream, let him keep on dreaming. Don't let him wake up. But I understand it from that perspective. Right. That would be wonderful, but I've heard people say, and I may have even said it myself in the past. I may have even said, if I'm dreaming, let me dream on. But wouldn't that be awful to be dreaming that you are saved, that you had eternal life, and wake up in hell?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wake me up.
Yep.
If
yep.
I'm dreaming.
Right.
If this is not real, wake me up so I'll at least have a chance.
Right.
That's the way I believe that we ought to really think.
Right.
But I'm thankful that we don't have to say, wake me up if I'm dreaming, because we can know that salvation's real. We can know that God lives within us. We can know that we have eternal life. It don't have to be a hope-so salvation. Now, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15:19 that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Imagine if your hope, what you're wanting or what you think you have, imagine if it only went to the grave.
Yep.
Would not be too good, would it? But listen, the Bible teaches us that we can have a no-so salvation.
Amen.
And Titus, the book of Titus here, says looking for that blessed hope. That's that anticipation. But it's beyond just that hope so. It's something that we're looking for. It's an expectancy.
Amen.
It's not just a dream. It's not just hoping that one day Jesus will return. He is coming.
Yes.
And He is coming. And the Bible calls that the blessed hope.
Right.
We have the hope that He will return for us.
Amen.
Because we have repented of our sin, turned to Him, and been born again. And He's coming for His family,
Amen.
The family of God.
Right.
Thank God for that. And so don't just hope so. I hope so. I couldn't tell you how many people over the years, as I've knocked doors and met people and asked them something about their salvation. Are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Do you know that your sins are under the blood and over again? I've heard people say, I hope so. If we have hope in this life, we're of all men most miserable. Once we depart from this life, we'll know. But I believe we can know now. Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be awful to die expecting go to heaven and wake up in hell? Wouldn't it be awful? And certainly it would. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Right.
Even as others which have no hope.
Right.
I have conducted funerals. I've conducted funerals where people fell over the casket of the body of their dead loved one and weep and not want to go. I remember one time, I don't remember where my family was with me or not, but I was pastoring Vision Baptist Church, and a man that I'd known all of my life was a preacher in that community, and his wife died, and she actually committed suicide. She just got overwrought with the burdens that was upon her, trying to take care of her. She was old, but still trying to take care of her parents and trying to take care of his parents, and that's what they think. They think she just got overwrought. But this preacher that I'd heard preach many times, they opened the casket after the message had been brought, and we followed them out to the gravesite, and they opened the casket for one more time for anybody that wanted to look at her. And this preacher walked up there and looked down at his dear wife, and he said this. He said, we are not burying her. He just fell over that casket. We are not burying her. I thought, the preacher, he's just out of his mind with grief. It's going to be such a scene. It's going to be so embarrassing for his family and everything. And he said that two or three times. We are not burying her. And then he raised up, turned around from that casket, and looked at us that was under that funeral tent. He said, no, we are not burying her. He said, we are planting her in the hope of sure resurrection.
Amen.
Thank God today the child of God can go to the graveyard in that manner because of that hope. That is not just in this life, but it's that hope that God has given us because we have put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that are dead in Christ, he's talking about, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Job 8:13 says, so are the paths of all that forget God. Listen, and this is the part I want you to hear. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish.
Yeah.
The hypocrite's hope shall perish. There's people that have been in churches and they have professed to be one thing and they are not. and they therefore are a hypocrite.
Yep.
But I want to tell you today that God himself has said that hypocrite's hope shall perish.
Amen.
But listen, the child of God's hope lives on forever.
Amen.
And he's coming again one day for us. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us," listen, "unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I'd like to preach there a while, but time won't permit. What I want you to see out of that is a lively hope.
Amen.
What you and I have, those of us that have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have been born again, that his blood has covered our sins. We've been washed in the blood.
Yes.
My friends, today we that are saved by God's grace have that blessed hope, that promise, have that proof from the Word of God, and he that lives within, and we not only have an internal witness, we have an eternal witness.
Amen.
And my friends, today we actually have an external witness.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that we become a new creature.
Right.
That's our testimony. We become a new creature. That's an external witness to others that we have been saved.
Amen.
By the grace of God. So we have that lively or living hope. And he said it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Thank God today for that. I appreciate the fact that God has blessed us. Listen, that blessed assurance can be yours today. Can be yours. I heard the testimonies today, and it was given. Brother Matt testified that as a six-year-old child that he trusted Christ as his
Amen.
Savior. Brother Downs testified that as an eight-year-old young boy that he trusted Christ
Yes.
as his Savior. Our son, the pastor, Farrell Shepherd, testified that when he was 8 years old that he trusted Christ as his Savior. And by the way, he and Brother Downs got saved the same year
Amen.
At the same age.
Amen.
And what that's just amazing when I looked at that. I testified that when I was 17 years old, that I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And different ones. I don't remember, how old Brother Philip said or how old that, the different ones that testified, but I just remember those. But it don't matter the age, and it don't matter even if you don't remember the age, as long as you know that you have trusted Christ as
Amen.
Your Savior. And if you have trusted him as your personal Savior, you're saved today. Preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how far away I've been from God. I do know, though, if you're saved, you have eternal life.
Amen.
And if it's eternal, it never ends.
Right.
If you could lose your salvation, that would mean it's not eternal life. But because it is eternal life, you have salvation forever.
Amen.
Oh, you're giving people a license to sin. No, sir.
Nope.
No, sir. It's against the law
right.
to sin.
Yeah.
God's law.
Right.
And so, but today, do we? Absolutely. We break God's law. We
sure.
still do. But thank the Lord. 1 John 1:9 is in there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful today for that hope. So there is not only a hope of this world that is a hopeless hope, but there is a hope that is found in the Bible that is a biblical hope, that is an eternal hope.
Yep.
Do you have that hope?
Right.
I wonder today, how many today could raise your hand and say, "Preacher, by the grace of God, I have repented of my sin, received Christ as my Savior. He has birthed me into the family of God. I'm saved today
Amen.
And know it." How many raise your hand? "Preacher, I know I'm saved today."
Amen.
across the house. Listen, thank you. Most of the people that's of an age, little ones, of course, didn't raise their hand and all of that. But what about you that maybe I might have misunderstood or missed, but I think there was some that didn't raise their hand. Is it because you're not sure, or is it because you know that you're not saved? If you're not sure, you can find out. The Word of God will tell you and show you. And by the way, the conviction of God will show you. Have you ever been convicted of your sin? I testified today on the radio. I remember the first time that I ever felt conviction. I know where I was at. I know what church I was in. I know who was speaking at that time. The first two times I didn't get saved, either one of them. I wish I'd have got saved the first time that I realized I was lost. I wish I'd have run to Jesus, but I didn't. There are scars, if you will, in my mind. Things that I have to combat against more so than some of these that are young, that got saved rather when they was young, and so it's important that we come to Christ, and it's wonderful to see people come to Christ. Somebody said that there was one person came to know Christ in a revival, well up into their 80s, and then another young boy came to know Christ. And somebody said, isn't it wonderful that man just before that he's about to slip out to eternity, how wonderful it is that he got saved. But the preacher said, but it's even a greater thing to see this young man. Not only is his soul saved, but his life saved. The older man didn't have much to be able to, didn't have long to praise God and to serve him and to witness for him, but the younger one to live his life for the Lord. And so I look at this, and so let me just throw these two or three thoughts and I'll be through. Not because I need to get on the road, but because this is what the Lord gave me. But listen, our blessed hope that we that have been born again, our blessed hope brings confidence in our lives. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I believe that when he's talking about strengthening our heart, those of us that hope in the Lord, that have put our faith in him, I believe he's saying, as he strengthens that heart, I look at that as being confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Confidence in the Lord. Listen, we used to have a pastor that had a saying. He used to say that, I'm so saved. He said, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
Yeah.
You can't go to hell. Listen, did you know that for a saved person to go to hell, the Holy Ghost would have to go to hell?
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? That's sacrilege. No, it's not. Listen, he lives within us.
Right.
And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you and I'll go with you all the way. He would have to go. That's how confident we can be that have trusted Christ as our personal Savior. But that pastor had another saying. He used to say, I'm not afraid to swing over hell on a rotten cornstalk.
Yeah.
Amen. And I changed that a little bit. And I said, well, I don't know about a rotten cornstalk, but I'm not afraid to swing over hell on the grace of God. Because I'm saved by the grace of God, not a rotten cornstalk. And so thank the Lord for that. And so then there's another. Did you know that the blessed hope not only brings confidence, but it brings a longing? It brings a longing. How many of you heard, and maybe how many of you have said, I'm longing for home, as the song said. I'm looking. We've had different people, and that say, boy, I just wish the Lord would come. I've had people to say to me, I don't know why the Lord's leaving me here. I've prayed and asked him just to go ahead and take me home. And I've said to some of those dear saints, maybe God's leaving you here to pray for me because I believe you're praying for me. Listen, maybe you can't go to church like you used to. You can't get out and knock doors. You can't witness and everything. But listen, right here in the confines of your home, you can pray for others that are living for God. You can pray that God will help. You can pray for the church that you're a part of, that you no longer maybe can attend. Prayer is an important thing. Prayer is a wonderful thing. And so, people long to go home. But listen, I look at this. Titus, again, verse 13 of that scripture that I read, when we're talking about the blessed hope brings longing, he said, looking for that blessed hope. I get the idea that's looking. A dear lady, the first person that I baptized, lives in Sparta. She's still alive. Her husband was the town drunk in Sparta, and he got saved, and she got saved, and their young'uns got saved. Amen. And they got, one of the daughters got in touch with us a while back, and we went and had supper, with them at McDonald's. And, but she was just so full of God, and so her husband had changed so much, and she had so much joy and everything. I heard her testify, I don't know where more than once, but I remember her saying, I'll be washing the dishes. And she said, there's a window, right in front of me. And she said, I'll get up in the mornings and I'll be washing the breakfast dishes. And she said, sometimes I'll just look out there and look up at the sky and see if I can see him a-coming. I'm a-longing to see him. I want to see him coming. And so I can remember as a boy, my dad, got off work at 3 o'clock, 3:30. And he could be home in 30 minutes. It would upset my dad if he was not the first one at work and if he was not the first one to leave work. That was my dad. That's just the way it was. We lived about a mile and a half from the church, and we needed to leave at 6 o'clock because service started at 7, and that was my dad. But he wanted to be home, and I can remember as a boy standing out there and looking down the road to see if I could see the dust of that old 55 Chevrolet Cameo Carrier pickup that I knew was going to come up through that road. I was looking for my daddy, and I was longing for him to come. I missed him when I was home during the summer and things like that. But listen, our Lord's coming. Amen. And we look around and we see the darkness of this world. We see the ungodliness on every hand. And it amazes me that if something's right, the world is right the opposite. Yeah. It seems to me like that the world has went crazy. Yeah. In one sense.
Yep.
A man and woman to marry, but two men,
right.
Two women.
Yeah.
Listen, I told my wife, and I don't mean to be vulgar or anything, but I told my wife several years ago, I said, listen, I said, this thing's getting so ungodly and everything. One of these days, you're going to hear somebody say they want to marry an animal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long after that, I saw an article that come out. A man had petitioned a court to marry his horse.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had sense enough to come in out of the rain. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know why? He's lost.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Right.
He's lost, and he's, it's just all kinds of things that you're seeing, go on now.
Yeah.
I said something about something happened today. I put up a sign in the town where Joshua is now pastoring when they did the, I know we're on the air, but when they did the same sex marriage, when they made it legal, I put up a sign on our church sign, and I said, legal does not make it right.
Right.
And one day, right after that, I had a man, to say to me, he said, Pastor, have you seen what they're saying about you? on social media? And I said, no, I haven't heard anything. He said, they're calling you a homophobe. They're calling you judgmental and everything. And I said, wait a minute. They're calling me judgmental? I said, all I said was legal does not make it right. I didn't even say what I was talking about.
Right.
But I said, just so I can, I'll clarify this, that I was talking about same-sex marriage.
Right.
And it being made legal by our government does not make it right.
Right.
But I said, what if I had put on one side, on the, I believe I said like on the east side, I put of our sign, legal does not make it right. And on the west side, I put abortion. I said, would that make it right? He said, yeah. And I mean, I thought sure I had him. I mean, I thought he'd say, well, no, that don't make it. And I said, well, then the next week I change it. And on the west side, I put legal does not make it right. And on the east side, I put slavery. I said, does that make it right? He said, yep, it will make it right. Legal makes it right. Legal does not make it right.
Right.
It does not make it right.
Right.
It may make it legal,
yep,
but it's not right. Of course, right and wrong is really defined by what the Bible says.
Right.
That's where you get truth.
Right.
Thy word is truth.
Right.
It's not just true, but it's truth.
Amen.
It's the standard.
That's right.
By which we decide, I mean, by which we learn what is right and what is wrong. But I'm thankful today that we, whatever the world thinks, it doesn't change what the Bible says.
Amen.
No matter, we talked about no matter today, no matter what they say.
Right.
And in a sense, it does matter, but it, no matter what it says, yet the Bible is right.
Amen.
We look at the thoughts of these things, and so I'm ready to get out of here.
Amen.
I'm not talking about getting out of Madisonville. I'm talking about getting out of this world. I'm ready
right.
to go. Now listen, I'm not going to commit suicide to get out.
Right.
If I ever commit suicide, look for somebody,
yes,
and have them to see if I've either lost my mind or somebody has pushed me along.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But I want to tell you today that that we should have a longing. And I believe if we're right with God, if we're saved by the grace of God, and we're right with God, if we've got that relationship right with Him, I believe we're looking for Him to come.
Right.
We're looking and we're expecting and we're desiring Him to come. Listen, the blessed hope, let me give you another one right quick. The blessed hope brings purification. Did you know that? I'm talking about blessed hope. If you're saved by the grace of God, it brings purification. It's not like we was talking about some people claim to have been saved 40 years and it never changed their lives.
Right.
I don't believe that.
No.
I believe this scripture teaches right opposite. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible said, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself,
right,
even as he is pure.
Amen.
That Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, has appeared to all men. He didn't leave anybody out.
Right.
He's revealed himself to every man.
Right.
Knowest thou not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? We can find through nature, we can find through creation, that there is a God. But listen, it is the Bible that tells us how to get to Him.
Amen.
How to get to Him. And so people don't stay in their sins. There's some change. Listen, as an 8-year-old boy, as we was raising, your pastor, I'm going to tell you today, we could see a change in him.
Amen.
Did he ever get a whipping afterward?
Yeah.
Yep. And so, but I want to tell you today that there was a change. And I've always told people, listen, when young ones, especially, when young ones come and make a profession, listen, don't try to pull them in and pick them green.
Right.
But when they ask a question, answer it on the level that you think that they'll understand, and some understand quicker.
Yeah.
And people growing up in church will normally come to know the Lord quicker if they've got the right home life. They'll come to understand that they're a sinner quicker and all of that. But when they come, what I've always done, we tried to answer our boys' questions, be honest with them, and just give it to them. When they were satisfied, we left it alone. We didn't try to drag them along. And so when they came, but then I also, as a pastor, have always told people, when a child gets saved, watch them. You won't see the change that you will in a drunk's life. You won't see the change probably that the world saw in Brother Duncan's life when he gave his testimony. But you should see a change. Why? Because the Bible says every man that hath this, and it's talking about every person that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Listen again to Titus chapter 2. Let me give you this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that tells us how salvation comes. It's by the grace of God. That bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. That tells me that Christ died for whosoever will.
Right.
That he's revealed himself to everyone, to every man. Listen, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Listen to what the grace of God does. It not only has appeared to all men, but it teaches us.
Right.
What does it teach us? To deny ungodliness. That's the negative side of grace. To deny ungodliness and worldly lust. But then also that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. That's the positive side. So he said, you'll put off some things, but you'll put on some things. You'll put off some things, you'll put away some things, and you'll put on some things if you're saved by the grace of God. Not living a perfect life, but we're living... He's living in us who is perfect, and he is leading us toward that. Farrell said the other day, somebody said, the reason I know that I've repented because I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm still repenting, and it brings it on.
Yeah.
And so our blessed hope brings purification. If there's no change in your life, somebody said it like this, no change, no conversion. And so then, let me give you one more, and I'll just close this out like that. I'm going to give you another one, but I want to say a little bit on this one. Our blessed hope brings a witness. Brings a witness. Listen to what 1 Peter 3:15 says. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Listen, here's the part I'm getting to. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a hope, of a reason rather, for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why? Somebody might say. Why are you different, Brother Duncan? The lady said, or somebody said, there's something different about you. When that happens, we ought to be ready to give an answer of the hope. In the churches that we've started in Kansas, one of the things I started doing, of course, I would teach discipleship classes and things like that. But I also, in dealing with salvation and things like that, I would ask them to sit down and write out their testimony. And I'd say, condense that down to where that you can give that in about 2 or 3 minutes. Now, I took quite a bit longer. I started back in 1955 when I was 6 years old, when a man from Winston-Salem came up into our county and put a tent up in a cow pasture, and Holy Ghost conviction began to arrest people, and people came out of those mountains and hollers and got saved by the grace of God. Amen. That fall, he started a church with the people that got saved under that two-week tent meeting, and it's still going. Some of our family, I've got a brother that's still a deacon there. And all of this. So, those things. But listen, here's what I'm saying. People not only should see that there's a difference in your life, but study and figure and write it down and change and do all of this and get it in your heart so you can give a quick testimony.
Right.
You don't have to do a full length sermon when you're trying to witness to somebody. It might be that you just need to give just give a simple thought. An old song used to say, "I went there to fight, but oh my, that night something got a hold of me."
Amen.
And it was said about the Holy Ghost getting his hooks into
Amen.
Us. Listen, if you've never been brought under conviction, you've never had a chance to be saved.
That's right.
But if you've been convicted of your sin, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. God don't ever have to deal with you again.
Amen.
But listen, I've never known anybody that said God only dealt with me one time.
Right.
It could be. The Lord wants to save you.
Amen.
And the last thing I'm going to give you, the blessed hope brings a peace in the face of death.
Amen.
I stood by my dad's bedside. I read Psalm 23 to him. I believe I've told this story before. My dad's favorite scripture. I preached on it one time on Psalm 23 and on Tuesday night, I believe, well, maybe it's Sunday night, but that week, I was raising hogs, and that week I took a load of hogs, to the sale. And Daddy said, is it all right if I ride down there with you? So we rode down. On the way down, Daddy said, and he wasn't, I'm not being critical of him, but Daddy wasn't one that bragged on you a great deal, you know, and all of that. Daddy said, boy, I really enjoyed that message on Psalm 23, the other night. And he said, that's my favorite scripture in the Bible. He said, every day before I read my regular scripture, I didn't know this. He said, every day before I read my regular scripture, wherever I'm reading, and he read, chronologically through the Bible. I mean, verse by verse, and chapter by chapter, and book by book. And he marked it. I've got his Bible, his New Testament rather, that I can remember as a boy that he'd read out on the back porch. He read it till the back come off of it. But he had dates in it. He got saved in 1960. And I looked at it one day and I said, Mom, did Daddy get saved in 1960? And she said, yeah. I said, but there's dates in this New Testament back in 1958. And she said, yeah. And she called the man's name that gave him that Bible. And she said he started reading it and read it about 2 years before he got saved. And I found out that he'd been under conviction for that. The Word of God was working in his heart and all of that. But Daddy said that about Psalm 23. He said, I read it every day before I go read my regular scripture. And so when my dad was dying in the hospital, the family gathered, and I told him about it being Daddy's favorite scripture. And I said, I want to read it. And I read it out loud to him, and Daddy thanked me. And I told him I loved him. And he told me he loved me, and he told us he loved him. Last words on his lip was, I love you. Just like he's going to sleep. Nothing. It didn't make me think that he was anxious about dying. I'd already asked him, Daddy, I'm not questioning your testimony, but are you sure everything's all right between you and God? Listen, the last time you're going to speak to somebody, you don't want to offend them, of course. But it's not offense if it's an honesty.
Right.
And I saw no sign of fear. The last words on my mother's lips, according to my sister-in-law, we was in Kansas when my mom died in North Carolina on Christmas Eve, 2002. But the last words on mom's lips was Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. And she went to be with him.
Yep.
I believe she may have seen him.
Yep.
It looked like, my sister-in-law said, it looked like she was reaching out to shake hands with somebody. And she slipped out of this world.
Amen.
Listen, what I'm saying, the blessed hope brings peace
Amen.
In the face of death. Proverbs 14:32 said, the wicked are driven away in his wickedness.
Yep.
But the righteous have hope in his death. Thank God today for the hope. Listen, are you saved? If you're not, would you like to be saved?
Amen.
God wants to save you.
Yes.
God's willing to save you. We have a preacher friend down in Georgia that made a profession of faith, announced his calling to preach, went to Bible college, and then one night sitting under his pastor got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And sat down, and not right at that time, but later he sat down and wrote a book, and the title of it is Stop Trying and Start Trusting.
Amen.
He said that's the difference.
Yeah.
You're trying to get saved. You're trying to get saved. All you have to do is turn from the way you're going.
Amen.
Turn to God. Cry out to him.
Yep.
In your own way. Nobody else even has to hear you.
Yep.
But you cry out unto God. He hears you. You trust him as your personal
yep.
Savior. And you'll be born again.
Amen.
Don't let Satan tell you any other thing.
Right.
Preacher, I've been to the altar a half a dozen times. But why don't you just go to Jesus?
Right.
Why don't you trust him?
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. And as the musicians come and get an invitation, and I'm going to let your pastor come and give the invitation. But if you're here tonight, and you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you want to be saved, I promise you, if you will come to him, if you go beyond the altar and you get to Jesus,
amen.
He will save you. He will in no wise cast you out.
That's right.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Son, the service is yours.
Amen.